The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
I had a arrogant view till it happened to you. Starstruck from the past and you struggling flew. You were my best mate, number one, all the fun, all the long. Used to make me laugh and then we'd drink and get it done. Then we'd run through infernos, Clapham High Street, making sure that the sun shines on our neat shades. Cause we're in the Bobbin Garden, drinking Timmy Taylor's, and I think I've got a hard on. Hot girl walking past me all the day, made me say, I love Clapham to the end of my days, but then I hear that you've been gone for almost a year. What the fuck, man, what you had in here? Turns out you lost your hair, you just got the fear. Cause you know that no man's ever welcome here or there. When he's suffering with his balding, and he's clearly suffering badly with his life, cause he's got no hair. Yeah, don't be like my best mate, please don't disappear. And you can reclaim your lids. All the guys who are thinning out there listening right now, all the guys who are worrying they're thinning, all the guys who are boarding, just type in suns.co.uk, type in the code RIGBIS40 and get 40% off all the incredible magical hair products which are going to reclaim your lid in a matter of months. You're welcome.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the RIGBIS podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and I'm delighted, as you can tell, to be joined once more by Mr. Archie Cousin. How are you, sir?
Claude, I am well. Before we start, just look at those puppies.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad, what are those?
They're my triceps.
Mate, they're looking really good.
That is boxing training for you. It's really good for your arms, bloody good for your shoulders, and it's just a great cardio workout.
Well, I saw you sparring earlier in the week.
Yeah,
how did that go down?
Yeah. Things are hotting up, mate. They're bringing me multiple sparring partners now. You know, the 21st April isn't far away, and all I'm gonna say, Clody, I'm looking good, and I don't think Penn is gonna last three rounds.
Well, you are looking good. So are you still honoring the tradition of not drinking on the weekends, or?
Oh well, I'm gonna hold my hands up.
Go on.
I had a typical semi-professional rugby players weekend this
weekend.
What's
that mean?
Well, I ended up going to the Stoop on Friday, and my God, Harlequins do the rugby well on a Friday. I wasn't planning to drink. But the atmosphere was electric.
Best you've ever seen?
Well, you take Twickenham, for example, Clody. That is like the Ned. Mm-hmm. It is to the point. It says what it does in the tin. It's bloody good fun. It's a bit corporate, and business can be done there.
Right, okay.
But you go to the Stoop on a Friday night, and it's like bloody infernos there. It is loosey-goosey. They've got tunes playing, beers flowing. It's hard not to bloody drink. I don't think I've tried to go to infernos and not drink, and it's impossible. And it's the same thing with the Stoop.
How long did he last?
I think I lasted 2 minutes. They were playing a tune, so I turned to my mate, a guy called David Cunningham. We call him Dave, but he bloody loves a party, so we call him Rave.
Right, okay.
And we just got stuck into the Guinnesses there. And yeah, what an atmosphere.
Did you watch any of the game?
I can remember bits of it, but it's just a brilliant night out. Because you forget we live in Clapham. We're Clapham Junction, right on our doorstep. Mm. One of the country, if not the country's best train station. And, you know, you can get anywhere from CJ, and it's a hop, skip, and a jump to Twickenham. It's a beautiful journey. So it's a beautiful... Have you done that journey?
Yeah, I have done it a couple of times.
It's a stunning journey. So, yeah, just took the train from CJ to Twickers, had a bloody good time, had a few pints in the Cabbage Patch afterwards, headed back into Clapham, went to a few bars down Northcote Road, which I've got to say, I am absolutely loving at the moment.
You're actually leaning towards Northcote over Clapham High Street at the moment.
I know, but it's just a great vibe because I've been going to Twickenham so much. It's a perfect sort of second stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, headed home. I woke up Saturday feeling a little bit worse than wear.
Not surprised.
Had to play rugby, pull myself out of bed, shave my body completely, as I do before any game. Did a few naked squats, naked press-ups, then had a 15-minute cold shower, and I felt right as rain. Really did. Packed my bag, headed to the game. We absolutely pumped the opposition, like some Winchester old boys.
They were
shocking.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll
tell you what, on Saturday, the highlight was the shower session we had. There's something so magical about being wet and naked with your mates.
Live from Clapham with the CEO himself, this is Clapham News.
Here is the news from around Clapham on the 10th of March. Clapham head office employs Inferno's security for Clapham Common tube stations from Monday to Thursday due to overcrowding and uncouth behaviour. The CEO of Clapham, who's bloody good looking, has spoken to the head of TfL about introducing first-class carriages on the Northern Line. This will help high-net-worth individuals travel in luxury and network together on a network. More Lash Brewery unleashed 25% off all cases of beer until the end of Six Nations, hoping to provide the country with unlimited amount of C.H.A.T. chat. With petrol prices soaring due to the conflict in Ukraine, luckily, a resident in Clapham North discovered oil, which could provide Clapham for the next 150 years.
So, Archie, obviously we had some big news last week. We went to see the European Domestic Champions once upon a time.
Went to Saracens up there. I thought we were going there because I was going to get signed.
What, as a player?
Yeah.
Mate, that's
But well, the premise wasn't that, was it?
No, that wasn't the premise.
Talking to the guys.
Well, you were on a serious note being sort of signed to entertain and to, you know, motivate.
Yeah, to motivate these guys.
So how did it go down?
You were there, Clody. Those guys are very professional. They weren't used to my methods. I'm now supporting Bristol today.
You're supporting the Bristol Bears.
Everyone who's very close to me knows that I've had this amazing Facebook messaging relationship with Dave Atwood. And he plays for Bristol Bears. And my alliance, my heart, is with them.
Archie, Saracens did end up winning in the top of the table clash against Leicester this weekend, and Bristol Bears lost in the West Country Derby against Bath.
They're going to need all the help they can get. That's why this week I've actually decided to do a motivational CD-ROM for Bristol Bears.
Well, let's hear it.
Bristol Bears! Rawr! Dave Atwood, you're my best friend on Facebook. Now's the time to kick Saracens in the face. Charles Pietau, you are possibly the most polite man I've ever come across. Piers O'Connor, you need to change your name. Doesn't sound like you play rugby, sounds like you own land. Tom Whiteley, forget your stats and infernos and concentrate on your stats on the field with Bristol Bears. Harry Randall.
Hello, little Harry. You can do it, we all believe. Well done, little boy.
Sinks, time to be like your ITV4 documentary, bloody serious and to the point. Hey, Jamie George, I know you listen to this pod. Tough luck, you're going to have to pay. Hey, Semi, you give me a Semi. Bristol Bears, on the 26th of March, I will be there. Watching you, smoozing clients, working the room, making money. Watching you while you make money on the pitch. We'll all be making money. Let's make money.
Head to the Saracens website to buy your tickets for the Showdown 2 in association.
So, Archie, you called me up, I think quite inebriated on Saturday about 1 in the morning. You said, look, mate, I've got a guest and we need a legend. I've got a legend.
Yeah.
Who have you got?
So I was at Twickers the other weekend, as you know, bumped into none other than Jamie Noone. Yeah, yeah.
What a legend.
England, Newcastle, Breve Centre.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just said, listen, mate, we need to get this done. We shook hands. Here he is, signed, sealed, delivered.
Even though he's a northerner, he's decided to come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He absolutely loves Le Chat. Un, deux, trois, allez. Are you there, Noone? Over.
I am over.
Oh, my God.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Noone, you're looking fantastic.
Thank you. I've lost a lot of hair, but it's fallen onto my chin, which is helping, I think.
No, it's great. It's a very strong look. It's a very strong look. For the many listeners that listen to the, you know, the podcast, it'd be great to tell them how this sort of this meeting came about. It's actually at Twickers, a phenomenal place to do business development. You know, I was 15 pints down at Guinness. You know, my chat was very Putney-wise. And just popped outside the pub and Nooney was there. And I just forced him to follow me
on Instagram. Did he recognise you or did you recognise him?
I recognised Nooney straight away. You know, he's a world-class operator. Followed his career, you know, when he was playing at Newcastle and then Breath. And I said, look, you've got to come on. And he was reluctant, but I, you know, twisted his arm and I said, here he is.
Nooney, did you recognise Archie Curzon at all or not?
Of course. I've been following him a long time. Watching his career sort of blossom. You know, I was more worried about my chat and lack of business knowledge, which was my initial concern.
Nooney, your chat was on fire, and Nooney was hanging around with some high net worth individuals.
Really?
The likes of Jake Navidi.
Nice.
And two other people I didn't recognise, but they were very famous rugby players.
Well, we are delighted to be joined on the pod by ex-England and Newcastle legend Jamie Noone. Jamie, firstly, how does a northerner living out in France managed to find Archie in the first place? I mean, obviously you guys did a bit of BD at Twickenham, but who turned you on initially to the self-possessed genius who is Archie Curzon?
I don't know. I think it might have been Benders, because obviously I played with Benders back in the day, and obviously they're quite tight school friends. And
yeah,
I think I actually saw the was it the YouTube stuff you were doing first?
Yeah, the old Don't Drop the Egg. 10 years this year. Still delivering the same kind of chat. 10 years on.
No, it was good. It was good, mate. I enjoyed it. You've done well off it, to be fair.
Yeah.
Stringing out 10 years, fair play.
Yeah, yeah. But look, Ronaldo's been doing that for 15 years, you know, at the top of his game. Same as me, really.
Yeah. Longevity.
People always say, like, have you got any other chat? So, no. Does Ronaldo play another way?
Do I need other chat? No.
Well, Nooney, you're an absolute legend of the game, but let's take you back to where it all started, which is where you fell in love with the game in North Yorkshire. I can imagine back in those days, 80s North Yorkshire public school, it was quite draconian. You were getting beatings. It was quite miserable. Can you take us back to your memories of those days?
To be fair, it was the cold. It was the cold and the wet that got into your bones and stuff. It was, I came to the game quite late. I was into football for a long time, and my dad was a bit of a, you know, he played a little bit back in the day. And so it was, I thought that was going to be my career pathway. And obviously I just kind of went with it and I just enjoyed it. Initially, I hated all that was contact. I hated all that was aggression, et cetera. And then I realized that if I was to get a girlfriend at any stage in my life, I needed to just knuckle down and start playing the sports teams. And then I became captain and things sort of started looking up off the field as well, you know?
Yeah, ladies came. Ladies love a guy that plays rugby.
Did the ladies come and watch the 4th 15 at your school?
No, I played first 15. And when I'm walking around Clapham, if I'm not wearing any Clapham Falcon stash, I will always tell a girl, whether I'm in like Waitrose and like the chicken aisle, I'll just say I'm getting this because I play rugby and I eat quite a lot of protein. And just dropping that in, you can just see their knees tremble. They're just like, whoa.
Well, that's sort of how I met my wife. So I used to walk around university in the Falcon stash.
Yeah.
I had full deck, full tracksuit, full stash. And she still sort of ribs me about that now, you know.
Oh my God.
It's the best way to go. To be honest, I'm disappointed that when we saw each other, I wasn't wearing like a bit of Clapham Falcon stash. Because that probably would have got me more. I'd probably got into a few more boxes that day.
You probably would have done.
Yeah.
Well, Nooney, your career didn't start off in the best of manners in terms of you were missed out on selection for age group, for counties, and then you had to rely on your public school rugby teacher to send a letter to Newcastle, who were top of the league at that stage, to beg for them to give you a trial. Did you start out in the centres? Did you go straight into that team? What was life like, you know, going from nobody to a somebody so quickly?
I played on the wing to start with, and then eventually got moved into the centre, and then it just kind of just went really, really fast at the time. It just went crazy. And I was still at uni as well, so picking up the match fees was happy days, you know.
Yeah, and like the chat with the birds as well, because you're saying like,
oh mate,
I'm on the wing, but I'm moving into centre next week, and at the time Newcastle, that was the team to play for, wasn't it? I mean, there was a lot of
some good young guys, and
sexy guys there.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny, everybody still goes on about Johnny, but, you know, we were sort of just like behind him as much as we could and just trying to sort of,
yeah, because,
you know, take it in the slips, just take anything, you know?
Yeah, because it, like, Ollie Phillips is there and, you know, he was on the podcast and even he managed to get some birds, which is, that's the power of Johnny Wilkinson. Incredible.
Yeah. He's been receding for about 40 years as well. So
he has. He's looked like a 6-year-old man for the past 20 years.
My wife came to one of the games. We weren't sort of dating or anything at the time, and I was on the wing, and we played Wasps. And I was so worried about my fitness that we were sponsored by Lucozade. So I was smashing in loads of Lucozade, thinking, well, that's going to give me all the energy I need for the game, you know, get through it. And playing away, and I was feeling a little bit like heavy, a bit sort of lethargic and a bit heavy. And then a box kick came up. So I go up for this box kick. Catches box kick, and as soon as I land, big Lawrence Delalio just absolutely leathers me, and I was like, wow, smashes me in the stomach, and I'm on the sideline, and unbeknown to me, my missus was, or my future wife was there watching, but because I'd just been hit, and because I had literally a bucket load of Lucozade, I just started vomiting in front of the thing, and then later, when I met her later, she said, oh, you know, I went to watch the rugby once, and there was a bloke who was being sick.
Oh my God.
I didn't say anything, but it was me.
That is brilliant. Well, when you joined Newcastle initially...
That's weird, though, because I am sometimes outside infernos being sick, and that has I've never managed to get...
You've never got a cheek
to
say, no.
No.
Well, it's, yeah. Sort of different calibre of people we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess that's the beauty of being a professional rugby player. Different between professional and semi-pro.
Yeah. You don't always get recognised.
Yeah.
But Nuno...
No, outside infernos, always recognised.
Well, that's maybe the problem.
Mainly because I'm on my phone, and I'm like, if they don't recognise, I show them. Like when Nuno's met me. I got him to follow me, and then they know who I am. That's the best thing to do.
Nuno, sadly, a couple of weeks ago, we lost a legendary Blackie, who was one of the greatest coaches, innovators, you know, just an all-round genius. How tough has that been for the last couple of weeks, and, you know, what a genius was he?
I think he was, you know, before his time, you know, when we talk about, everyone talks about mindfulness now and, you know, trying to get the best out of their athletes, he was doing that without saying or labelling things. You know, he had a way of getting the best out of everybody, you know, and he was hilarious. He was, you know, he had sometimes some strange kind of processes, but for me, I mean, I loved it.
Is it a case that he was kind of like a man manager? I mean, like, worked with individuals, right, on that basis, and sort of put his arm around people like yourself, Johnny Wilkinson, those people, and motivate him. You read what, like, Danny Cipriani talks. I guess he could spot those kind of characters and bring them out of their shell and sort of get them to perform at their peak.
A lot of the stuff we did, you know, obviously even at England, were very, you know, strict, regimented. You do your sets of six, your sets of four, your sets of whatever. And with Blackie, we never did that. Blackie used to try and squeeze as much as he could from you. So you'd go on, say, for instance, a bench press. You'd sit on the bench press and he would just say, right, go. And initially, you'd learn very quickly that you wouldn't ask, but initially you'd be like, well, how many, what, six, eight, how many were doing, you know, given that this was the norm, you know, you had your numbers to hit. And he said, no, just go and I'll just tell you to stop. And so you'd be on there. Sometimes you'd be on there ages. Sometimes you'd be on there for not very long. Then you say stop, and then they put a bit more weight on or something, and then you'd go again. But he would squeeze everything out of you. At the end of the session, you were done. But you knew if you'd have stuck to a strict regime, then you maybe wouldn't have got as much from me. But he could read you, and he could read how you were feeling on the day and what you needed. And everybody had a different session, you know, so it wasn't the same. It was personalized, individualized, you know. But he, like I say, for me, he knew guys and he knew people very well. He wasn't just a fitness coach who comes in and does a session and moves out. You know, he was there. He was there in the training. He was there talking to you after the session. He'd say, you know, let's go for a cup of tea, and he'd chat to you about stuff. And then he'd say, look, you know, come to my, when you had a garage, and the garage of pain, and we'd go to the garage and we'd do extra sessions. And he was a great man. And he, like I say, he had time for everyone.
The way that you say that he gets, you know, got every inch out of you sounds very much like a tactic I use with my team in the city. Because sometimes we set, you know, calling sessions between 12 and 1 o'clock, you know, just to call our clients. But sometimes I just say to the guys, just go. And it gets to 1 o'clock and I'm just like, keep going, buddy. You know, you are in the flow now. BD is at its pinnacle. And we'll go to 5 o'clock in the PM, and actually a lot of business will be done. So interesting. And I didn't even know he did that. So it just shows that, you know,
great minds.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
Well, Nooney, before you made your international debut for England, you were playing some under 21 stuff in the late 90s, and you also played for the Sevens team, including the legendary Hong Kong Sevens. Can you just give an insight into your memories of that sort of brief Sevens series?
It was a great experience for me. I mean, I just kind of went with it and did what I could more than anything. Hong Kong was phenomenal because we were the first team to win it. South Stand was like kicking off. It was absolutely awesome. I think we won it. I think the team won it 3 years on the bounce, but I won it twice in a row. And it was awesome. And the evenings were phenomenal as well. You know, we'd go out to the early hours and then just get back just to get the taxi or the bus back to the airport to get home. Someone had sorted out something with Cathay Pacific or whatever, you know, or BA had upgraded us, and it was good times. It was one of those where life was a little bit easier. You know, it felt like, obviously with all that's going on at the moment, life was a little bit easier. You know, you'd kind of just go from party to party and just, you know, live in the moment, because we weren't sure, you know, where we were going on this journey. We didn't know when it was going to end to a certain extent. So it was just like, let's just go with it. I think we won once, and John Major came into the changing room. So John Major's in the changing rooms after the game. We're all having beers, champagne and stuff like that. And then we ended up going out to the early hours. It was not with John.
Well, I was going to say, Major. Was John Major there?
But no, it was the last day was the big one. Yeah. No. It's a shame, because we probably would have got into more bars if we'd have come with John Major.
Yeah, probably. 2001, you do break into the England 15 for the first time. You make your debut on their tour to North America. Who was the best family on that tour? And we've heard about the England initiation. Did you have to do one then, or have things changed?
No, I did the initiation, yeah. So we had to, obviously everyone had to sing a song at the front of a bus. But I kind of got lucky because I was at the front bus, and I think I'd either partway through, because we had quite a lot of caps on that tour. And so we did them all at the end, and we were all sort of tanked up by then. And so I was singing at the front, and someone decided to chuck a bottle at me, and I managed to avoid it, but it hit the front windscreen on the bus, and the driver went ape and was like, no, that's it. Let's stop. So I ended up sort of partway through my song, got sort of ushered back to my seat, and everyone was a bit sort of awkward. But then after that, you have to go around and you have to have a drink with everyone. So anyone who comes to you, who's had a cap, you have to drink with them whatever they offer to you. So it could be just a beer, or it could be tequila, it could be whiskey, it could be whatever. So by the end of that evening, you're in a pile.
Because Nooney, we've had Genji, and we've had Jack Noel, and they've talked about the same thing, and they say some people are quite good lads and like give you some water just to keep you on the narrow. But I'm guessing back on that day, no chance.
No, that must be different era to when I was playing. That wasn't, no. I think you were lucky if you got a beer. If you got a beer, you were like, oh, thank God for that. And I wasn't a whiskey drinker. I remember Ronnie Regan was walking around with a bottle of whiskey, and instead of it being like a short, you know, he'd say, right, drink. And then you drink, give it him back. And he'd be like, no, I didn't say stop. And you're like, mate, oh my God. Really? Come on, that's not.
That is.
So at the end, honestly, everybody's like in a heap.
It's weird because
it's part of it. That's the old school rugby lad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm coming up to 10 years as CEO of Clapham. And actually, one of the things you do when you get to 10 years, you have to go around and have a drink with everybody in Clapham, which is going to be one hell of a weekend.
Were you going to die?
I might do, but, you know, I'll go out on my own terms. That's the way to go, you know.
Did
on
you
the lash.
Did you bring that initiation in yourself?
I have, yeah. Right, okay. I brought that to the table. I've taken the old school and brought it to Clapham, and I've said, look, get rid of your wokeness. I'm coming round to your house, whether you like it or not, and you serve me up a drink.
Commercial break.
Hi, guys. Sorry to interrupt. Such a great interview with Nooney. Bloody good guy, isn't he? And I think I'm actually on pretty good form as well. Sorry for interrupting myself. That's okay, Archie. Okay, no worries. You crack on. I just want to let you know that for the end of Six Nations, we'll be offering a 25% discount on all cases of More Lash. We are determined to make the nation have better chat. So all you need to do is type in 6N chat to get 25% off. You are very welcome. I'll let you get back to a bloody good interview. Actually, in a bit, I actually come up with some quite good pitter-patter with Nooney, and you notice he really enjoys it. And Freddie laughs as well. It's a really nice moment. But yeah, enjoy. And you know, let me know if you want me to come back and advertise some more. I'm more than happy to do that.
Well, Nooney, you became a starter in that England team. So how much did you hate Clive Woodward after starting all the practice games before the World Cup when he said you weren't in the squad?
It was a tough one. It was a tough one because I kind of felt like maybe I had a sniff at it. Again, it's one of those where you don't, you know, try not to read into these, but these guys go over there and those guys go over there. And the team hadn't been changed that much over the years. And I was with those guys. So I was with, Lawrence, Wilco, I was with Vix, and I was like, well, okay, cool. And that was the first week, second week. You know, we did six, 7 weeks in the preseason, and I was always kind of with them, and I did quite well in the fitness stuff. I worked really hard. There was one time when I felt like it wasn't necessarily going that well, was when we were doing a touch session. I don't know whether it was before one of the warm-up games, but we were doing a touch session, and Clive was like, look, lads, easy, it's just touch. I don't want any problems. I don't want any injuries. And if anyone makes mistakes and stuff like that, you've got to go over there to do fitness with the fitness coach over there. And I was like, there's a load of like dumbbells and stuff set on the side of the field. And so we're doing the session fine. And I didn't tackle someone, but I ended up getting pushed from behind into someone. And Clive just blew up. So he screamed at the top of his, fucking Nooney, piss off over there with Otis. And then Otis was a fitness guy. And then he's screaming at Otis, kill him, Otis, kill him. So I didn't think that was maybe the best moment in my pre-season. And then one of the guys asked him, like, oh, mate, I'm really sorry about that. That was me. I was like, no, well, fuck, it wasn't me. It wasn't, I didn't do anything.
Obviously, you had your beef with Clive. He didn't pick you for the 2005 Lions tour when you were sort of one of the most informed players in the world. Was he a decent coach, though?
To be honest, he wasn't a coach. So what he did well, very well, is not a man manager. He was a manager. So he got people in. So he got the best guys in. So he had the best kicking coach in there. He had the best scrummaging coach in there. He had the best guys. He went and got the best guys. He made massive effort to look after the boys. You know, he moved us to Penny Hill Park. When we traveled, especially long distance, it was business class. You know, he had the foresight, I suppose, to manage players as well as they can, so that come the weekend they're on the best form. He was willing to push the boat out. You know, we brought in a vision coach, you know, an eye coach. And I didn't know anybody else who'd done that. You know, and after that, South Africa went and got her, and she won the World Cup with South Africa as well. So there was, you know, it was at the time, it was a bit strange for us having to do these sessions, but, you know, it worked in theory.
Interesting you say about Clive and the business class, you know, bit, because that's why I'm sort of, I am trying to put together a plan to have business class on the tube, just for like the likes of me, like a semi-pro rugby player, but just so I'm not cramped in with the riffraff and I've got room to stretch.
Well, a separate carriage.
And get my foam roller out and watch analysis while I'm travelling in on the Northern Line to the city. So interesting.
Well, Nooney, wedged either side of your debut in 2001 and the World Cup in 2003, you won the Anglo-Welsh Cup twice for Newcastle. Especially when you played against Quins when you're underdogs, how do you sort of find a celebration to fit such a incredible achievement?
That first one, we stayed down in London and we went out and we had like a private function and stuff. Family came down. And on the second one, I actually got engaged to the girlfriend. So it was quite memorable in that sense. So.
That is phenomenal. Well, that is the way
nice
to
touch.
Do it.
That just goes to show how drunk I was, I suppose.
Yeah. That is
how hammered I was.
That's what I plan to do. eventually, near my end of my career, when I get a girlfriend, that's
on a night out with rugby lads.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah,
propose.
Yeah. So the chat's flowing with the boys,
you're
and then
do
you
it.
just ball over there, get on one knee, and you're like, listen, I'd imagine my name, future girl Ellie or something really like quite sweet. She'll probably be wearing quite a nice little pashmina, and she'll work in like PR or interior design. And I'll just get on the knee and be like, sorry, I've just been doing a bum fund over there, but do you want to get married? South of France, you keen? And she'll be like, yeah, you've got everything going for you. You're the one.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's going to happen, Archie. I'm sure that's going to happen.
What
was Johnny Wilkinson like? Did he come on the nights out? Like, did you ever see him get drunk and actually party?
He came on some of them, early doors. And then, obviously, they dried up a little bit just because he was busy. He was busy doing his thing, wasn't he? So, no, he was on some of them to start with. And Wilco's one of those all or nothing. So he'd go hard quite early and then go home quite early as a result. So he was good fun, to be honest. He was good fun on those nights out. But we had a real good core group of lads.
Do you have a Newcastle Falcons WhatsApp group? And what are Johnny Wilkinson's gifts like? Are they pretty good?
We do have a WhatsApp group. I'm not even sure Johnny's in it, though. I think if he probably got invited loads of times, but he's probably pulled himself out of it because as WhatsApp groups go, rugby lads stuff, there's some interesting content on there.
Yeah, well, if you want to join the City Slicker group, let me know. It's just a load of really good, like, high net worth individuals in London. There's some brilliant banter going around. So, yeah, let me know. It's probably not good for this podcast to talk about, but yeah, it's really funny, some of the stuff. There's this video of this. No, actually, no, don't worry.
No, don't. Well, Nooney, the World Cup 2007 comes along and you're a starter for the first two games until you get an injury in the big loss against South Africa. How frustrating was it to get that injury? But also, even more frustrating, how frustrating was it the fact that your replacement, Matthew Tate, turned out to be the best player in the tournament?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he'd been a genius previous to that. It's just he shone a little bit more brighter in that final. But you know, for me, it was more, I was so disappointed missing out on the 2003 one that I kind of had a bit of a plan that I'd do everything I could to be involved in the next one. You know, I'd work really hard. I paid for extra sort of nutritionist. I paid for extra fitness stuff. I did as much as I could to try and put myself in the best shape. And then I was starting to play and I was starting to play regularly. And then the year preceding the World Cup, I was binned again. And so I was like, oh no, this has all gone horribly wrong. But then I played a game against France. I think Benders might have been Benders's.
Yeah, that was unfortunately the game Chabal run over him. And that was the end of his career. Yeah, and afterwards, I managed to catch up with him and told him he needs to get better at tackling, which I think he really appreciated.
I'm sure he did.
But Nooney, obviously that World Cup, you know, a massive disappointment personally for you. But what maybe even more disappointing was the fact that you had to spend weeks on end with Andy Farrell. Was he the most boring man you ever played rugby alongside?
Nah, he was. Faz is all right. Faz is all right. I got on all right with Faz.
Well, Nooney, that wasn't the end of your international career. You had a couple more caps for England, including a man of the match performance in 2008 against Ireland. But then you decide to up sticks and shift off to the south of France to play for Brive in the footsteps of Andrew James Goode, the wonderful fly half. How shocked were you by the unprofessionalism when you got over there?
I'd heard, I kind of knew elements of it. The big thing for me was obviously drinking and coffee. So we had a little bit of a caffeine ban with England. We weren't supposed to drink coffee in the week so that come the weekend, the effects of the caffeine would be, you know, increased. And in a changing room in Brive, there's a coffee machine. The boys were like smashing 10 coffees a day easily. And I was like, well, right, okay. And then we'd go for a team lunch and there'd be wines and the people, you know, the lads are smoking. They weren't even trying to hide the smoking. They're taking, like, getting a tab off the coaches and stuff. And I was like, wait there. And then on an away trip, there was like massive coffee things. And then there was this massive, they did this massive, real long, like a Madeira cake. And they'd bring that and boys would just be smashing chunks of this Madeira cake on an away trip. Then we'd stop at services partway through and they'd all rock up with the jellies and the sweets and stuff. And I was like, this is very different to what we used to do, how we approached it.
Isn't that like the beauty of playing out there? Because obviously, look, it's bigger than over here in the UK in terms of the fans and how much they love it, and it's an experience, right? But there isn't that much pressure in terms of, it is about just going out there on the day and enjoying it in the moment, rather than here, it is like regimented.
For me, the big thing was, you know, obviously coming over to France, it meant that the England career was over, really. I mean, it was kind of like petering out anyway, but I felt like, you know, that was kind of it. And so I didn't have that same pressure. You know, I had so much pressure to try and get in each squad, trying to get in the team if I could, you know, and then when I was in the team, you know, play as best I can and get the best out of, you know, what I do. And I didn't have that. And I think that was also, you know, a bit of a relief not to have that worry and not that, you know, not necessarily have that pressure.
I mean, what you're saying there, it sounds very similar to my dad's love life, because for his first three marriages, he was married to English women, and then his fourth wife was French. And again, it was a weight off his shoulder, and it was something new, different, and he certainly enjoyed it. And, you know, she was into completely different things that the other three weren't. But also, I think he was so pumped up about having children with the three women. They're English, but the French one didn't want to have children, so he literally just went and enjoyed it. So very similar. Well, no. Very similar. Oh, my God.
As long as he's given it his all, mate, then it's, yeah, you know.
And that's what he said to me. He said, listen, you know, it hasn't worked out with your mum. He said, but listen. And I was probably eight at the time. And he just looked me in my eyes and he just said, look, what Chantel does in the bedroom is just,
you know,
and I remember that. And I just remember that's how close we are as a family anyway.
Right, Archie, that's quite disturbing. Nooney, give us a flavour of how partying after a match in France is different to that of England.
There's only two nightclubs in Brief, so there's not necessarily loads to do. There's lots of bars, and most people go to bars. The big thing is, in France as well, it's open to about 7 in the morning. So it's
nice.
It's a little bit, it can get a little bit long, a little bit crazy. I remember Sale came and boys were out and stuff. Everyone was out and having a good time. It was all good. And then I got a couple of telephone calls from the Sale lads, and they were like, mate, can you help us? And I'm like, oh, yeah, what is it? Like, can you come and get us? So I go and get them, and I get in the car. They get in the car and I'm driving them back to the hotel, and then my eyes start streaming, like proper streaming. I'm like struggling to breathe a little bit. I'm like, what's going on? And there's, oh God. And so everyone else is opening the windows, and they'd been pepper sprayed because I think they were trying to push a car over. So they got pepper sprayed, but then they got in the car. And so we all got pepper sprayed with the guy that got pepper sprayed. So it was all a bit crazy. And this was like 4 or 5 in the morning. So it wasn't the best of evenings.
Nooney, just to finish off, obviously now you are a rugby agent. I don't know if you represent people who are semi-professional. I don't know if you do that.
Not really. Well, maybe yeah, because we've got a couple of young guys, in fact, they're probably professional, arguably professional as well.
Yeah, I think you could argue that I'm professional in some ways as well. Nooney, listen, I'm telling you, I'm happy to give you 30% if you get me a contract either in the US or France. I come with a lot of commercial, you know.
Baggage.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. If I've always said, get me in Worcester. They need a name. They need a name. Get me there.
Yeah.
So let's start off with Johnny Wilkinson.
No chat.
Martin Johnson.
This could get me like in trouble.
No, everyone does it.
No chat.
Steve Thompson.
Chat.
Andrew Sheridan.
Chat.
Lewis Moody.
Chat.
Loza Delalio, the naughty boy.
Chat.
Paul Sackey?
Definitely got chat. He's got swagger as well.
Joe Worsley?
Chat.
Steve Borthwick?
No chat.
And then Jason Robinson?
Chat.
Pretty good. You know, most of the forwards had no chat. And quickly, sir, we ask everyone this. What's your biggest regret and what is your biggest highlight?
I suppose biggest regret is probably retiring when I retired. I maybe should have tried to squeeze it out for as long as I could. One of my biggest achievements was scoring a hat-trick in front of my five-month-year-old son. So it was the first game my wife had come to as well. So it was quite a nice one to get three tries, man of the match against Scotland.
First hat-trick in 25 years for an Englishman. Jamie Noon, you've been an absolute legend.
Noonie, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
See you soon in Clapham, mate. Take care.
What a salt of the earth.
Charming culture.
Salt of the earth.
Oh, my God.
I can just imagine me, him, and Wilkinson having a flat white and just setting the world to rights.
I think we should just do legends from now on.
Well, there is something in it. They have got some bloody good stories. They've seen it, and they just don't care. They just unleash the chat.
You're not going to get the pepper spray with the young guys.
No, good old Noonie. I really enjoyed that. It was a good one for the. We needed something like that for
Shame
this season.
Shame he doesn't want to sign you up.
Well, we'll see, Clody. I reckon there could be a deal to be done. I've got a lot of commercial weight behind me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Kerr's tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
So, Archie, now's time for the Settle It section.
Yeah, I know. I you know what? I really come to love this section because it is just pure ruggers.
Where we ask our fans if they want to come up against you with your incredible rugby knowledge. Congratulations, because yes, sir, you won again.
It is getting boring now. Everyone thinks that I don't know my ruggers, but I know my ruggers.
Well, you lost a lot of money the week before.
I know, but that's part of the plan. You reel them in, and then they come against you.
Okay. Well, maybe you're losing again
I told you that Sarries would win.
You would, yeah, you did. Even though Leicester were 16 points clear, you did say no. I've been to the boys. I'm motivated. I mean, it was all thanks to you.
We'll see
what happens for the rest of the season. But obviously now, forget domestic rugby, Arch, because Six Nations is back.
Ooh,
and even better than that,
cannot wait.
Friday Night Lights Six Nations.
Ooh,
back.
Yes,
Cardiff will be lit
please.
Up with the red lights of Wales against Le Bleu.
It does get me bloody excited.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm slightly moist.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Around my bottom area. But No. It's just when I do get excited, I do get a lot of moisture down there.
Right, okay.
But Friday Night Six Nations gets me
moist.
Are
you going to be watching it? I mean, what are your plans
for that? Yeah, I'll be watching it. Probably won't be drinking, but saying that, I'll be in the pub, so who knows? Probably have a few.
Well, Wales, obviously.
I am so like that these days.
You are. You're unpredictable.
I guess I'm in that kind of shape where I can just have three or four pints and it doesn't really affect my chassis.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about being in shape.
Well, let's look at that game quickly, because Wales at home, they did a great fight back against England in the second half. Probably a better team should have won the game. Do they have any chance against the French under the lights?
You know what? Clodie, I'm going to put my neck on the line here. I know my ruggers. And people are going to say, no, be silly. I'm going to say Wales are going to win this.
You're going Wales to win?
Yeah, I think they'll win it by 3 to 5 points. I just think all the Wales fans singing with their, you know, none of them don't have very good dental hygiene, you know, got teeth missing.
Yeah.
That will intimidate.
Bread of heaven.
That will intimidate the French. And they wouldn't have experienced an atmosphere like this. Not yet in the Six Nations. They've gone to somewhere like that.
So what odds are you going to give them France to beat Wales?
I'm going to give France 2-1.
Mate, they're 1-3 with the bookies. That's stupid.
I don't care. I don't care. The bookies don't know ruggers like me. I don't know any bookies that live in Clapham and play semi-professional rugby.
That's a good point, but I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, then the Saturday, we go to England versus Ireland. Another huge match.
What a match.
Ireland looking incredible. England looking pretty average. You know, they've struggled to impress this series so far. What odds are you going to go for?
Yeah, Again, I've got to stick with the English boys. I will be there, fingers crossed, with a couple of clients. And it's very rare I go to Twickenham and see England lose. I think England will be highly motivated, charged up to the nines. And yeah, I think England by 10.
But I must say, Ireland are heavy favourites again, a bit like France.
Again, a lot of those bookies who set the odds, unlikely ever had a bum funnel or know what it's like to have 3 toothbrushes inside you.
So you're going to give Ireland what odds to win?
2-1 again.
2-1 again, even though they're favourites. Right. And then rounding off the weekend, we have Italy, Lazuri, the country you're trying to adopt and play for, up against the Scottish, who are actually in pretty bad form themselves.
I think you're going to find that Scotland are going to play some pretty special rugby. And I will say Scotland by 60.
Well, I hope you've got some good money in the bank, Archie, because it looks like you're going to lose a couple this week. But if you guys want to get involved in this ridiculous offers, then please
bloody good section,
take
isn't it?
Archie's number and challenge him on Settle It. Download the
app
now.
That is pure ruggers. Ooh, just spread my toast full of ruggers.
Chassis and cheekers, welcome to my question time. You're welcome.
Welcome to my question time. Baby girl, I'm feeling fine, but time for question comes alive. I need to help you fucking thrive. Need to help you grow and find. Triple A, you know what time. Something here to heal your mind. Archie Gerson's question time.
So Archie, I know you adored with your, you know, with your whole heart, the Clubhouse story section.
I really did. I get a lot of messages saying people missing that, but
you have grown to love this.
Yeah, question time has become a lot of people's new favorite section. It's a bloody good opportunity for people to ask some serious questions that people want to hear the answers of, and I'm more than happy to do that.
Okay.
It is very much like question time. I keep saying it, but if anyone from the BBC is listening to podcasts, you know how they do like The Apprentice, You're Fine.
Yeah.
This could be like the
show, sort of red button version.
Red button version to actual question time, because we're covering some pretty serious subjects.
Well, let's find out what one of those serious subjects is now.
Good evening, Archie. I hope this finds you well. I do hope that your new way of introducing yourself to clients is talking about the tragic news of Shane Warne. What a hero he was. Certainly a hero of mine, listening to people saying bold Shane. But yeah, what a good bloke he was. What an inspiration he was. But my question is, if you could have 5 guests to your dream dinner party, excluding Alistair, who would it be?
One interesting question, Clay. Yeah. He had a nasty little cough at the beginning.
Yeah, he did.
Don't know why he sort of went off on the one about Shane Warne. Just for anyone in business, wouldn't recommend starting your emails about someone who's died.
No.
And on that note, terrible news about Shane
Warne.
R.I.P.
to the great
man.
Yeah.
What a man. Yeah. Probably the original chief chat officer.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, back to his question. Great question. 5 people. I guess they could be dead or alive.
Yeah, of course they can.
Probably go with Napoleon.
That's a bit odd for me.
No, I'm a bit of a history buff. People very close to me. No, I'm a bit of a history buff.
Okay.
Albert from next door. Mainly because I think Albert and Napoleon are quite similar age, so they get on quite well. Right. So that they'd have those bases covered. And Albert's a really nice guy, and he'd appreciate the company. Probably go Melinda Messenger and Yasmin Bleeth.
Who's that?
She's from Baywatch. She was on my wall at school. Her and Johnny Wilkerson. And every night I looked at them.
Right, okay.
And then probably Matt Hancock.
Matt Hancock.
Yeah.
It's a weird way to sort of round off the table.
No, but I just think that Matt Hancock would have all the bases covered. He'd get on well with the girls as well. I reckon Napoleon and Albert, they'd call it night quite early on because they're quite old. And then me, Nick, Melissa and Yasmin Bleeth would have a pretty good game of spin the bottle. So any more?
Mate, no more questions.
That's a real shame because that was a cutting edge question. Can we put a note down next week, get more questions on?
Definitely, I'll do my best.
Yeah.
So Archie, that brings an end to a legendary edition of a Legends edition.
Yes.
I mean, that was absolutely fantastic.
Yes,
Newly entertained the masters, and he also educated. Fantastic.
Got quite a little tingle in my tummy, and again, I've got a bit of sweat downstairs.
You're a bit wet downstairs,
yeah.
Are you? Well, it's probably about time I let you go. But just before I do, there is one thing I need to ask you. Just before I let you go, I did read your newsletter this week, and you were alluding to the fact that you finally got lucky in Inverness. So can you tell us?
So
I was worried why you didn't mention it at the beginning.
I was trying to keep it quiet, but I have been tweeting about it. Met this really, really nice girl. She's so sweet. Met her in Inferno. She was actually loving the chat.
Was she really drunk?
We were both really, really drunk. We did like, I think, 3 Jägerbombs in a row.
Oh, okay.
And then we enjoyed this lovely snog to Blue, the song by Blue, One for the Money and the Two Rad. And it was a really nice moment. And she was going to come back for mine, but I realised, unfortunately, her parents only owned one house. They lived in Croydon. She actually lived with them. And I just thought, you know what? That's nice, but I don't want you coming back to mine getting the wrong idea, because it's definitely not going to work. Lois, if you're listening, hi, babe. I told her all about the podcast, and I took her to the corner and made her listen to last week's podcast.
What, in the club?
Yeah, took her about 45 minutes, and she couldn't really make out a lot of the chat. But
it's pretty loud in the bedroom.
Yeah, it was. It was actually, I did try and get someone to turn it down a bit, because she couldn't make out a lot of the chat that was going on. I just had to... And then at the end, it took me another half an hour to explain what actually was going on in the podcast. But on a serious note, a lot of people are DMing me, and I know people have been messaging the account saying, is this fight with Pena happening? I cannot stress enough that I am training extremely hard in order to give the people what they want, a knockout. Tables are now, I think, nearly sold out. I think there may be one or two, and then there'll be some standing tickets being unleashed. I implore you to come down, get involved. It's for two incredible charities, and it's going to be one hell of a night.
So if you guys want to get the tickets, just go to the Fixer website and type in the Warren Wandsworth, biggest fight of the decade. Archie, I'm going to have to chuck you out, mate. I've got to go.
I've got to go, because I've honestly got to go and get some towels for my bottom.
Mama said you are a serial killer, but I didn't believe her. Oh, till I saw your face in the paper. Look just like my next door neighbor. When they say about brotherly love, come on and give a hoodie a hug. No, don't be shy, don't be shy. They don't bite, they don't bite. Dreadlocks moving in around the corner. Put the kettle on and invite him over. And anything you wanna borrow, it's no bother. Be good to him today and he'll be good to you.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.